Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 165. It is a Thursday evening, so we're here to preview the week's fab ahead. Week 24 fab coming at you this weekend. We'll get you the schedules, the most added players on CBS, two pitch starters, and all the goods that come with it there. Talk about some recent news, not a whole lot of that, and a lot of witty banter as usual along the way. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
We're good, man. Last show of August. We're getting there.
It's crazy.
We're getting there. Only three more fab periods after this weekend. So for anyone still in the hunt, A, good luck down the stretch. Hope we can help. And B, thanks for seeing it through with us every Thursday night all season long.
Yeah, it's been fun. We're still going to keep crushing it like usual, but three weeks, who's counting?
You are.
No, I'm counting for other reasons and you know exactly why, but it's going to be fun, almost done. And it seems like every time I think it's going to be like less and less intriguing, there still seems to be some good guys to pick up and make some moves in. If you don't have unlimited ILs, there are options out there in your fab leagues. A couple little bits of news and notes here, Ryan. There are a lot of guys rehabbing, so people keep an eye on that. There'll be little bits and pieces of players coming back, like Clark Schmidt, one more rehab start. Luis Eel rehabs on Monday, hopefully next week, so on and so forth. A lot of Scott kind of stuff coming on, so if you want to start speculating on guys, I'll try to remember to mention them during the teams, because since I kind of cover a lot of that stuff throughout the week. But one bit of news that took place on Thursday: Tyler Glass now supposed to start his throwing program on Friday, since it's been put off this whole time. And Dave Roberts, whoever you want to say his name, he's a horrible manager in my opinion. The reporters asked him, do you expect Tyler Glass now back this season? And he said, we are hopeful he'll be back, which to me does not spell good things. So your thoughts on this one, Ryan?
No, not great, especially because, like, I mean, we're kind of used to by September, the Dodgers prepping everyone for the postseason. They've kind of locked up the NL West in most years by this point. That is not the case this year, with San Diego and Arizona hot on their tails. So they need Tyler Glass now. They need Tyler Glass now if they want to win the NL West. So I don't think they're slow playing anything here. I smell a beer coming my way at first pitch.
Yep.
Most importantly, 150 innings was our over-under beer bet. Tyler Glass now, and he's at 135. So
got a lot closer than you thought he was going to.
Yeah, and like pretty much all front load. I know Glass now had that IL stint, which was probably just a rest IL stint around the All-Star break, but had 134 like entering August whenever he last pitched. So did not look good for me. I guess if you took like Glass now in the fourth round, hypothetically, do you regret that pick? Is that a bad pick? Is that a good, like, would you live with that? I took him in the fourth in labor. Yeah. I think I live with it. Like, all things considered, could be worse.
I think he's done quite well for you on all things considered. It's like, we've had the DeGrom conversation, like how many innings is for DeGrom's worth? The second round pick was like 120. I think 135 at a Glass now in round four is pretty, pretty good, especially labor being a 15 team league. So we're talking anywhere from pick, like, 46 to 60, so let's say 50, just to throw a number out there to people. So I think that's a pretty solid return, hopefully an SP2, unless you waited for a while, and you probably backed him up real quickly if you waited as your SP1. So I think that's I think people should be happy with what you got from Tyler Glasnow.
And while you were talking, I pulled up on the player rater, Glasnow is 44th on the Razzball player rater right now. So that will drop a little bit, right? If he does not come back and pitch in September, doesn't get any more wins or whatnot. But if you just in general, top 50 pick, if you return 50th, 60th value, like, that's fine. That was kind of the proposition with Glasnow entering the season, right? Like, I don't think anyone thought he'd go 180. Like, that was very much wishful thinking. It was more, can he surpass last year's 130 or whatever he threw? Or, if he gets there and only gets 130, can you live with it? And that's kind of what ended up happening. And yeah, I think it's kind of a par play in the third or fourth round. And I think you live with that.
Well, and then you also got to put on there, and if you do it properly, hopefully you don't screw it up, but you're not just having an empty roster spot for 2 months either. So you're attacking on top of the 135 that he gave you. So I know streaming could complicate things. There's no sugarcoating that, but if you streamed at least immediately well, like you've got a really good
value. Like Osvaldo Beto, like those.
Yes. If you made amazing moves like that, I don't know who would have said that because I heard he's not talked about very often. But if you mentioned that, that would be a big one for sure. That would, you know, take you to the promised land probably. So
are you hanging on to Glass now in non-IL leagues?
That's where I was going with this. I don't think so. I might regret it, but I think at best you get one, maybe two starts. And are they long starts? They're probably three or four innings because they just want to get them to October. So I, they're going to Garrett Crochet him, I think, if he even comes back for enough time to do that. So I think he's a drop unless for some reason you have no person. You don't need to drop someone, but I think he's near the top of that list. Yes.
Yeah. It's tough. I think I agree with you, though.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. We have a listener question on that. Sorry, bad co-host here. I forgot it was DM'd to me, so I forgot to send it to you. But it's along the lines of dropping people this time of year, how difficult it can be. And right now, you got to just kind of it's like the old joke I had with DFS, any sport. Like you look at an optimizer in DFS, and they always spit out the projections or whatever. And you look at the name, and you think, well, there's no way I can't do it. It's the name value. Now, there's certain optimizers now that just they don't show a name. They show projections and you fill your team and it makes more sense. It's the idea of like a Glass now, an elite player. If you just don't know the name and you just said, hey, this guy's out for the next 4 out of 5 weeks. It's an easy drop. Easy drop. If you didn't know it's Tyler Glass now. So that's the mindset you have to start switching to is what I'm trying to get at. All right. The other bit of news here, David Hamilton of the Boston Red Sox, who his playing time has been up and down throughout the season, but when he plays pretty, pretty well. He hits the IL with a fractured index finger trying to bunt on Tuesday evening. Hashtag don't bunt, never bunt, whatever the hashtag is. Nick Sogard got recalled, who has had some deep league viability from time to time. But David Hamilton's going to be out. It sounds similar, could be wrong, similar to either Wilson Contreras / J.P. Crawford, which was like a 4 to 6 week thing, which means done for the year. But any other thoughts on that?
No, it just means you got to, I mean, if you had Hamilton, you're probably in some kind of race for stolen bases. So I think we got a few names we'll stumble across tonight in terms of bags that you can try and hopefully replace some of that stolen base production with. But no, I got nothing else. I don't think Sogard is rosterable. There's like Romy Gonzalez, also not rosterable. So no, not much of a takeaway for me.
Before we start, Fab, our good buddy Michael C. in the chat. Hey, guys, I lost Glasnow, Cattell, Riley, and basically Freeman in great succession. Easy to Fab that, right? Replacement value-wise? Hey. That's tough. No problem.
No problem. We got Austin Hayes coming back. He's already back from the IL once we get to Philadelphia tonight. That could be your Austin. Just a different Austin. That could be your Austin Riley replacement. You'll be fine.
Yep, that's the thing. And the Freeman part, I was going to mention it during, but I'll mention it now. Freeman and Devers have both been out pretty much this whole week. Devers nursing the shoulder that's been bugging him all season long. Freeman nursing the finger that people thought he'd go on the IL about a week ago for. He did not, and now he's down and out. This is going to get real annoying the rest of the way, folks. That's all I'm going to say, because like you said, the Dodgers are just trying to get healthy to the postseason. They don't care about winning every game. They just want to get to the dance. That's going to get really, really annoying. So, yep.
And then you'll have your teams that are, I mean, both those teams are in contention, but you'll have stars, studs on teams that are not in contention, nagging injuries, shut them down. Welcome to September baseball, everyone.
Yep. It's going to be fun. Speaking of fun, let's get going on the Fab here, Mr. Bloomfield. Let's talk some schedules and whatnot. What stands out to you the schedule look this week? You know, I don't see any. Oh, there's 1-5. I scrolled down. 1-5 gamer this week. But what else stands out to you here?
Toronto's the only 5-gamer. Not that most teams have 6. There's a handful of 7. Arizona, the Twins, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Tampa, and Texas all get 7 games. There is a weird wraparound series on Monday, which usually means an early roster deadline. I haven't checked the exact time. It's an Arizona LA Dodgers game, so it may not be that early of a Monday roster, but they do a wraparound series on Monday and then play the full 7 games. So I don't know. The White Sox have improved from a 71 team WRC plus up to 74. Our top offense in baseball this year, number one right now is the New York Yankees. They've overtaken everyone else. The Dodgers have fallen to 113. They're below Arizona, Baltimore. And that's it. They're fourth.
Real quick before we get started, Monday will be an early lineup lock, Ryan, because it's Labor Day. And I was just looking.
The first
game is a 2:10 game, a.k.a. 11:10 on the West Coast. So it's a ton of day baseball, which is good. There's about five or six evening games. The rest is all day baseball. So there will be a very early lock on Monday. Something to keep in mind for sure. All right. We'll get to Beanable's question in the chat later because he's the one that DM'd me on that. But yeah, let's have some fun here. Let's talk some schedules as I hide that real quick. And let's get to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They lead the way here. Seven games this week. They got that wraparound you mentioned against the Dodgers, and they got at the Giants and at Houston for three each, looking like three lefties and four righties. And when you see a schedule like that, makes things pretty difficult for the bat situation, Ryan.
Yeah, you always like a seven-game week, but you don't like it as much when it's split three and four. So you could do some jock jams, but you're only getting Jock Peterson for at least four starts, probably pinch hits, but then also maybe gets removed for pinch hitter when Arizona faces righties. Big picture, Arizona Diamondbacks, by far the best offensive baseball over the last month.
Yes.
Not really even that close. And it's even more impressive, like some chunk of that time. Excuse me, voice is a little off tonight. Some chunk of that time without Ketel Marte. So this offense is surging. We've talked about Adrian Del Castillo a few times. I wanted to bring up, I know you've been on Geraldo Perdomo. On my little live bloom boards here that we've had a couple episodes about this season, Perdomo has the highest increase of any hitter in baseball in 90th percentile exit velocity over the last month. So hitting the ball harder than he was before, while also holding an elite strikeout rate. So Geraldo Perdomo, if you need middle infield help, I think is a really good ad in a seven game week. He's going to play every day. There's no platoon there. And then last but not least, I don't know when Christian Walker is coming, but it sounds like Christian Walker is making progress, but we're kind of unclear whether it's going to be a rehab assignment. Is this another week? Is it a little bit more? It's like Josh Bell just keeps was left for dead. Just keeps playing and playing every single day at first base.
Yeah. Right now, two things real quick. Del Castillo seems to sit versus lefty, so keep that in mind this week. If you're looking for a catcher, that could make things a bit interesting. Christian Walker and Ketel Marte both took batting practice this past week, and they're trying to reevaluate them. They're hoping Christian Walker does not need a rehab start, but there's going to be some more testing before that takes place. And then the other thing I was going to mention is Perdomo. If we're talking David Hamilton replacements, Perdomo's definitely one of them. Yeah, he had a couple home runs and a couple steals last week. He's hit for average since he came back. He's been very, very impressive. So the Perdomo call definitely should be one that people look to here. And in 12-team OCs, Geraldo Perdomo was only 27% rostered. So I hope that starts to climb quite a bit. That would be one worth looking at. Del Castillo's 91% rostered. And honestly, if you're in a 12 and you want to maximize that bat, I don't know what kind of options are personally out there, but Del Castillo is going to sit three or four games this week, probably. So keep that in mind. That's going to be quite a bummer if that happens. All right. Atlanta Braves, they have six games this week, looking like two lefties, four righties, three at home versus Colorado, three at home versus Toronto. Overall, pretty good matchup when it comes to the K to walk of their opponents. But when it comes to the Braves, not a whole lot of roster moves you can make there.
Mostly. I'd shout out Whit Merrifield. I've mentioned him a couple times over the last month. Again, if we're talking like Hamilton replacements, Whit has four bags over the last month, hitting 275, playing every day, and actually leading off, has led off the last four games against both lefties and righties for the Braves. So I think that's, and I think he qualifies everywhere too. It's not just middle, but it's, I think he's like third base and outfield as well. So in deeper leagues with Merrifield, and perhaps even deeper leagues, Ramon Laureano is kind of hitting the hell out of the ball and playing every day. I mean, he is their everyday left fielder pretty much right now against lefties and righties, as Adam Duvall has pretty much disappeared.
Yeah. If people want to take that, and he has been hitting well, I'm not going to deny that, but man, I just, maybe my biases in the way of that whole Ramon Laureano situation. That's a tough one, but I get it. I could see the appeal. Baltimore Orioles, they have six games coming up this week, all at home. White Sox for three, Rays for three, five righties out of those six games. Most of these guys are like Ryan O'Hearn's already heavily rostered, though. So who else are we looking at here?
Is O'Hearn? He's
he was, unless it changed recently, but he was.
He's been struggling heavy. A little bit lately.
85%.
Okay. All right. All right. So, yeah, if you have O'Hearn, this is a week to definitely do it because you will get those five righties. For Baltimore, more on the pitching side. I remember this time last week, we, the fantasy baseball community, was a little bit concerned over Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Yes, I was going to hit on that. Yep.
But he seems to be just fine and not lost the closer role. So I think we kind of both said, let's not overreact to Sir Anthony. I think he'll be fine. And that has turned out to be the case. I would also, in the wake of the Trevor Rogers demotion last week, you're going to get, for starting pitcher streaming, you're going to get Albert Suarez against the White Sox on Wednesday, September 4th. And that's always a good stream. I don't think Albert Suarez is heavily rostered. He is.
No, he's Jesus.
No, he is. 89%.
No, I have him at 44%.
44.
Yeah, I was like, what are you looking at here?
Dude, it's as usual. It's been a week. 44%. So I like Albert Suarez as a great streamer this week against the White Sox.
All right, I'll write that name down as my list I make throughout the show. Albert Suarez makes the list here. Michael C's got a question here. Perdomo or Edmund? I have an OC with Edmund, stole a base today, but slow start with him. Perdomo easily for me. I'm curious what the Edmund believer over here has to say.
Why? Yeah, Edmund believer. I mean, I was convinced the guy was dead earlier in the season. I'll go Edmund. He's playing every single day at center, short. I think Edmund won't have the batting average of Perdomo, but if you need bags, I think Edmund's your play.
Okay. Perdomo for me. So good. I hope that helped you out, Michael. Boston Red Sox, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Mets, three at home versus the White Sox. The White Sox series is always a fun one. Two lefties, four righties for Boston. Keep an eye on the Devers situation to see how that one really unfolds, because that's messy. Romy Gonzalez has been getting a lot of playing time on that one. He's actually viable in deep leagues, I'll say. But other than that, unless you're trying to go get Nick Sogard, Yoshida, Abreu, the guys that benefit from righties are probably rostered.
Agreed. I don't see anything on the hitting side, even the pitching side, the decent matchups next week, like Cooper, Chris, like they get Detroit. Oh, no, sorry, that's this weekend. They get the Mets. So Brian Bayo gets a two-step, but he's been widely rostered. He's been really, really good lately, coming off, I think, an eight-inning start, Bayo, longest start of his career. Yeah. So he's been great, but I think pretty much universally rostered. So now, Red Sox, I don't think there's much action with them this week.
Yeah, Bayo has allowed three earned runs or less than eight of his last nine starts. Pretty
wow. Good stuff. Good pull.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Next up on the docket here, we got the Chicago Cubs, six games coming up next week, all at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Three against the Pirates, three against the Yankees, two lefties and four righties, and I'm ready to eat some crow on Pete Crow Armstrong, as he's been pretty darn effective, but he is now 85% rostered, so hope people had some fun with that one while they could. What else are we looking at this week?
That is funny. We do not share notes leading up to this thing, but that's who I had pegged is PCA, especially in the power department. Two homers this week, four of the last month, making a lot harder contact lately. I know we were pretty down on PCA because we had not seen really any hard contact until recently. But this is a guy who pretty much universally a pretty high prospect, and starting to show why. Catchers, switch over to catchers.
Yes, speak to me.
I think like Miguel Amaya has been one of the best catchers in baseball over the last month. Now, a lot of that was, I think he had a monster game or two, grand slam game, but hitting 324 with four homers over the last month. And Miguel Amaya is
36%
in 12 teamers. So any kind of two catcher league where you need that second catcher, Miguel Amaya. We may have probably seen his best run this past month, But anything, I mean, it could certainly stretch into September, and trying to project these guys into September, who knows? So go with the hot hand. Miguel Hamaya is absolutely hot right now.
Yeah, I want Adrian Del Castillo for the whole season, but if he has had a week-to-week thing, I'd rather have Hamaya next week. Tell you that much, just based on the schedule that Del Castillo has coming up. Hamaya's been very good, and that catcher too right now, unless you have two elite catchers, I'd be very, very willing to go streaming the streets in this one. Maybe it's one of those where you carry three catchers right now and play that game if you have enough roster situations. Just keep that in mind. Maximize catchers, because catchers matter too. Chicago White Sox, they have six games coming up this week, all on the road, three at Baltimore, three at Boston, one lefty, five righties. Ryan.
I got nothing, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to move on from that one because I'm not going to offer up Anthony Benintendi. Like Andrew Benintendi, I just can't do it.
I mean, the takeaway is to look at this, our, you know, opposing starting pitcher column and stream, you know, Corbin Burns is rostered everywhere, but Cade Povich, I already talked about Albert Suarez, wouldn't go Cooper Criswell against the White Sox. I don't think, like, he's been that bad lately, but Povich and Albert Suarez, streamable against the Sox, but no, nothing to pick up from the Sox right now. The White Sox. Yep.
Pretty, pretty bad. Cincinnati Reds, they have six games coming up this week. Three at home versus Houston, Arrigetti, Brown, and Framber. T's and P's. Three at the New York Mets. So three lefties, three righties on tap. Not a fun week to be a Cincinnati Red.
No, and I don't know who you... Yeah, I think you avoid the Reds hitters this week. I did pick up, like, you know, I followed your advice, picked up Dom Smith last week, or this week, or the Smart Park week. Hasn't turned out well so far, but we got three more days to...
Has he played at all?
To replicate. Yeah, he's played every day, just hasn't done anything. So,
well, keep trucking. They scored 10 runs today, so maybe there's hope somewhere. That'd be great to see. They have a double header tomorrow, too, so that could help you out, you know. Yeah, four games this weekend.
Oh yeah, it is four. That's right. Part of that doubleheader is Rhett Lauder.
Yeah,
is making his major league debut on Friday. Very impressive Baseball HQ scouting report on Lauder. We wrote him up like we do every new call up every single day at baseballhq.com. If you're not a subscriber, but very impressive call up. Very like sharp rise for Rhett Lauder. This will, I think, be his fourth level. Yes. In 1 year. The stats look great. The stuff looks great. He's coming straight up from Double A. So, like, knows?
He made one Triple A start.
Oh, he made one Triple A start. All right. Still, very aggressive call up. So who knows, like, short term how it's going to go. But Rhett Lauder, if you're speculating on skills and he's available in leagues where, you know, he's not on the active roster entering the week, I think you might be able to roll with him next week.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to say about Lauder that is interesting to me is, A, coming from high A all the way to the bigs. It's pretty quick. We've seen that with a few guys this year. But he's being called up as the 27th man on Friday. Now, we've seen 27th men stick. We've also seen them get sent straight back down. So for those that have Fab on Sunday, pay attention to Saturday. So I'm going to say when the moves get made from the 27th man. Because Rhett, there is a lot of high expectations with him. As Ryan said, the pedigree is pretty good. He's looked great this year. That's why he's moving so fast. But he is being used as his 27th man on the roster for the doubleheader. So just keep that in mind when you're doing that. Yeah. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games coming up this week, all on the road. Three at Kansas City, three at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Big Christmas finally got picked up a lot of places this past week. He's up to 82%, which is nice because he's just hitting everything right now. It's been his strikeout rate's dropped, so that's been darn impressive. And I will say this. I mentioned it, I think, on our show, and I know on my Fab show. Bo Naylor, still not ideal, is slightly getting better if you need a catcher, but that's just if you're desperate. But other than that, there's not a whole lot here for me, at least.
Yeah, and even I don't know. I just think Big Christmas, John Kenzie Noel, like, it's just going to be a streaky guy. The strikeout rate has improved a little bit. It's still over 30%, a ton of swing and miss. You're just going to have big weeks. The power is always going to be there. You're going to have big weeks, but then you're going to have some rough ones as well. So you don't want to be on the kind of the bad side of the the whipsaw. So Noel, certainly a productive power source, but don't go crazy based on the last couple weeks.
He has to face Walker Buehler next week, so that's always good.
Well, yeah, that's probably a homer or two at least.
But no, the John Kinsey thing, it's one of those you almost have to roster him every week, like you're saying, because of streakiness. It's Framil Reyes 2.0. I know it's been over, I've said it way too many times. I'm pretty sure others have used that comp because it's an easy comp. But it's just one of those where if you're in a head-to-head league, he's going to just annoy you. If you're in a roto league, just play him and see where it goes, because in the end, you just want that final stat line. So just keep that in mind when you're rostering Big Christmas. Colorado Rockies, 6 games coming up this week, all on the road, so no Coors in play. 3 at Atlanta, 3 at Milwaukee. That is a rough go for the Rockies. 1 lefty, 5 righties coming into play here. Jake Cave's playing a lot if you're into that kind of thing, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not. Nolan Jones is also playing a lot too. But no Rockies on road Rocky week, especially the first half of this week. Sale Morton and Ronaldo. Even Cy Savali at the end of the week. And Bubba, you may laugh, but my guy Cy Savali shut out your Giants today. So I just wanted to poke that bear a little bit and get that one. Something in there.
Is shutting out the Giants on the week to be proud of now?
Hey, with Cy Savali, you
take what you can get.
You take what you can get, you celebrate the good times because there haven't been many.
Our buddy Brendan Tuma, he posted since Savali joined the Brewers, his home road splits. He's been phenomenal at home. So 3 pitches next week. So got that going for you. Horrific on the road, like a 7+ ERA on the road. It's been night and day difference, which is pretty crazy.
Is that all season because he got traded?
No, it's just since he got traded to the Brewers. So just with the Brewers at home in Milwaukee, he's been great, below 2 ERA. On the road, though, 7+ ERA is nuts. So, yeah, pretty wild stuff in that regard. All right, let's go to the next grouping here. The Detroit. Oh, any interest in closer Tyler Kinley?
Unless you're interested in nuking your ratios, no. Okay. I think Kinley pitched the 8th earlier this, or didn't get an out or something. It did not go well. Earlier this week. No, you have to be extremely, extremely.
Kinley has a save this week. Kinley has 1 save this week and 1 blow up this week. That's where he's been so far. It's kind of par for the course. It's kind of where it goes. There is a question in the chat here. I just wanted to check something before I spoke out of turn. All right, I'll answer the question now. Tom DeCola in the chat says, lots of right-handed pitchers for Cleveland. Do you give Thomas any of the starts or let Noel go all 6? Thomas has played in 1 of the last 3 versus righties, and then he plays versus lefties. I've already cut Thomas. So Thomas has been bad. I would move on if you can. That's just my 2 cents on that one.
Yeah, and if you don't want to cut Thomas, certainly start Noel over Thomas.
Yes, and Noel at least get the playing time for now.
Yep.
Detroit Tigers, they have 6 games coming up this week, all on the road. 3 at San Diego, 3 at Oakland. Oh, that's a fun one. 1 lefty, 5 righties. Detroit is a fun fantasy team right now, folks. We've mentioned it for the last few weeks now because just check your wires, because I'll say Meadows is in play, Colt Keith's in play, Torque is playing well. You nailed that one. Jace Young is actually hitting the ball pretty well, much better than his brother. Those 4 for sure. And then there's some sneakiness if you can play in daily leagues. McKinstry is actually playing really well right now, played in 5 of the last 6. So there's actually some real viability and some pretty nice matchups coming up here for the Tigers, especially at the end of next week.
Parker Meadows has the best improvement in strikeout rate of any hitter over the last month of any hitter in baseball. So, and while keeping league average power, and then there's speed, and then there's the leadoff role on top of that. So Parker Meadows is really starting to come into form, but I think pretty much widely rostered. Same with Torque. I think both those guys are like in the 80%.
Meadows is 98. Torque 74. So you got some wiggle room there.
So Keith, neither of them in the 80s, but if you average them.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark, Ryan. I understood what you're saying. You're cool.
Torque only at 74. I think you just take a shot on that. The K rate still slightly. Actually, the K rate's a lot better, but K rate was real bad in AAA. But the power has been there for Torkelson. And yeah, good call out on Jace Young too.
Yeah, Jace Young has been sneaky good this week. And Jace Young is 9% rostered, folks. So that's one you could have some fun with. And he's third base, second base. You get the middle infield, corner infield goodies. So Jace Young might be a priority for me if I need some help this week. Houston Astros, they have six games coming up this week. Three in Great American, as we talked about, against Aguiar, Kelly, Martinez, to be determined if that stays that way. And then three at home versus Arizona. One lefty, five righties potentially for Houston. Are you getting some Jason Hayward who joined the team now, or how are you looking at this?
I mean, that's who I have highlighted. I mean, it is. I think he had a two-run double or something tonight with Houston. I mean, Hayward's going to play against right-handed pitching. So, I mean, even like, especially in the first half, even deeper leagues, like Ben Gamble might be an option. I mean, I don't know what year this is, but and if you're playing in like AL only leagues, Ben Gamble's hitting fifth against righties somehow for this lineup, but Jason Hayward is an interesting streamer for me this week. Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds good. Yeah, Jason Hayward, I don't mind the stream there. Just don't break the bank, folks, because no. I think Kyle Tucker might start a rehab assignment next week. I actually
here we go. Do you?
No, he did a full pregame today. Like, I think we might get him. The goal, like a week ago, said he's supposed to be back the first week in September, and he's actually for once progressing right now every day. So, like, we'll see how rehab goes, you know, playing. You'll probably do like three innings, six. They'll build him back up. So he's going to need a few games. I'd say at least a week. I just think he might start a rehab assignment next week, and that would be tremendous, all things said and done. Kansas City Royals got six games coming up this week, all at home, three against Cleveland. That's for the division, folks. Three against the Minnesota Twins. Those are some tough matchups, boys and girls. But we get potentially six right-handed pitchers, which your boy Massey could get back involved here, which could be fun. Enjoy Melendez continues to keep me occupied, but I need to give that up. I will say keep an eye on Vinny P's situation. He left tonight's game with a hand injury, so that's less than ideal. But that could slide Salvi to first. That could slide Fermin to full-time catching. So there's some moving pieces here. Like Fermin, if he played every day as another catcher, two viable guy, especially in deeper leagues. That's where I was going with that. But what's your thoughts on Kansas City?
Yeah, huge, huge week for them with both Cleveland and Minnesota for the AL Central race. That's going to be a fun-ass race to watch in September. You mentioned the two names I have, so it's definitely going to be Michael Massey. I always have to shout out Mount Massey, who's at least had a homer and a steal this week and leads off against right-handed pitching, so should lead off six times next week. And MJ Melendez hitting .287 with six home runs over the last month.
Yes. I mean,
hitting fifth every single day, and certainly will play every day against righties. So those two guys, Massey, who is,
Melendez is 21%.
And Massey's 35%. So widely available in a lot of 12 teamers. I like both of those guys. Massey, maybe this is the Ian Hamilton replacement episode. Hamilton. No, David Hamilton. Ian Hamilton.
James. Yeah, I thought Ian Hamilton.
I didn't say like, David Hamilton. Replacement episode. Massey's not going to get you the steals, but it's going to be, he'll get some bags. It's going to be all around production. So, yeah, Massey Melendez.
As our local Royals here, Kevin Hastings, MJ's seen over 300 in August with five homers. We shrink it down a few games. That's outstanding. Uncle Ted asked, did Ursic get hurt? Yes, Ursic took a line drive off his throwing hand. There, I haven't seen any of the x-rays from the post game. So Ursig and Vinny P left with them like a few minutes of each other. It was pretty fun stuff. If you're a Royals fan or fantasy wise, it's like two big ones there. And Michael C also mentioned Tatis also supposed to potentially start rehabbing. So Tatis and Tucker could be back soon, which would be great for fantasy. And then Carlos Marcano wanted to say, is Ober going to get degombered? Again, hi, fine gentlemen. First off, welcome, Carlos. Always great to have you here. And second, that was a very rough start to start the week for Ober. That was bad. So we'll see.
And that's two brutal ones from Ober this year. That'll be probably an off season. I think actually John Anderson had this on Twitter. He did like it may have been before Ober's latest blow up, but he kind of did the exercise I did where you take away the worst outing, what the ERA is with without. I think he did it with the two worst outings. Bailey Ober would certainly pop on that list with his last start, 9 earned runs, and his first start, 8 earned runs. A lot of goodness in between, but man, 2 starts, 17 earned in 3 1/3 innings. That hurts over a full season.
Yep. Casey Ryan in the chat here says, drop from MacArthur yet? He's been pitching better lately. Assuming he's talking about Ursig, I'd make sure Ursig's hurt first. If Ursig's hurt, agreed. Then yes. Otherwise, Ursig's got the job right now.
Agreed.
Yeah, don't get too excited on that just yet, but I get it. And see what the reports come out on Friday. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 6 games coming up this week. 3 at home versus the Dodgers. That makes things easy. 3 at the Texas Rangers, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Zach Neto just went 20-20 today. Just throwing that out there, everybody. But Twins, 3 lefties, 3 righties makes things pretty, pretty not great.
It does. I was on the verge of a potential, like Mickey Moniak's been decent lately, but not. He's only going to start 3 times, and it's still Mickey Moniak. So I don't really have anything for the Angels. They just called up Caden Dana. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yep. He's going to pitch on Sunday, so we'll see how he looks ahead of Fab. This is a 2023.
Won't even be eligible this week, which is fun.
Yeah, and then in NFBC leagues, but he will in tout. If you get on there and you get on your phone money? There and
with what money? Up there. What are you going to do?
But I don't know, Dana's. If we thought the Rhett Lauder promotion is aggressive, Caden Dana is absolutely aggressive. Yes. This is a 20-year-old up straight from Double A. Maybe that's why I got him confused with Lauder. So it's even more aggressive than Lauder. So I wouldn't get too excited with Caden Dana, but yeah, see how he looks on Sunday. Just throwing him out there as a name to kind of track on Sunday.
Yep, no, I'm with you there. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 6 games this week. That Monday game at Arizona, then they have 2 at the Angels and then 3 at Cleveland. So that's a fun set of that can't be right. That can't be
no, right. No, it's right. It's a wraparound.
Oh wow. So I screwed up the Angels then. So the Angels, they face the Dodgers. No, it's the Dodgers for 2, Texas for 4. That's why I screwed up the Angels. I had them playing 3 against each. Sorry, I had to correct that. But so Dodgers, what are we thinking there? Because they're usually all rostered anyways.
They are. You got me all confused. Now I'm like, no, you got it right. Yeah, 2 against the Angels. I got it. They are. I guess you don't like Tommy Edman. So nope. we'll stop that debate there. Tommy Edman's nothing special, but if you need a speed guy who plays every day, that would qualify as that. Outside of that, we've talked about Gavin Lux a little bit lately. Still not playing every day against lefties, so it's only 3 righties for the Dodgers this week. So even that's a bad play.
He played today, but sat 2 of them. He's played 2 out of the last 4, but he sat 2 in a row. It's weird, really weird.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, we talked about Glasnow at the top, so I think we covered the rotation. Bobby Miller pitched really well earlier this week, I think had a 9 strikeout game, and then looked a little bit more like the Bobby Miller lately. Gave up 3 earned in 5 innings tonight against Baltimore, thanks to a Colton Cowser 3-run homer just before we started recording. But Bobby Miller is staying in the rotation, especially with Glasnow still out, and at least looks a little bit better than he did before. And Bobby Miller is 82% rostered in 12 teamers and would line up, I think, against the Angels. No, it'd be Cleveland.
That's Cleveland or Texas. Yeah, no, Cleveland. Yes, Cleveland.
Well, no, they have more. They play Texas.
I was looking. I had the Angels up, not the Dodgers. Wrong LA team. They haven't lined up against the Angels on Wednesday.
Weird. What's today?
Today's Thursday. That would
be that would make sense.
Yeah,
that would make sense. So, if you get a Bobby Miller Angels start, that could work.
It could work. It could. Very well could. And folks, if you want to drop Will Smith, you still have time to do so. You still have time to make the right decision.
There it is. Straight to the heart.
You still have time to make the right decision, everybody. You can make those moves.
Would you still do it, though, if Austin Wells was on waivers? Or would you?
Austin Wells, Miguel Amaya, Adrian Del Castillo. You want me to continue the list, or how's that going to go?
So we have an Austin Wells versus Will Smith rest of season beer bet. Bubba's in the lead on that one, but I don't think it's. I mean, Austin Wells hasn't been that great lately.
Yeah,
he's been better than Will Smith.
I was about to say, like, the bar is not set high on this one. But yeah, something to keep in mind, folks. Will Smith should not be sitting on your active roster right now. Miami Marlins, they have 6 games this week, all at home in the friendly confines of South Beach. 3 against the Nats, 3 against Philadelphia, 3 lefties and 3 righties, unfortunately, which makes a very difficult situation because they're kind of turning into a line change over there in Miami, and that makes it really tough when it's 3-3 because, like as Uncle Ted mentioned, and we talked for the show, Derek Hill's great, but is that where we want to go with the righties involved? I don't think so, but he is playing versus righties too, so maybe, but you're also in Miami now. You're not in Colorado anymore.
Correct. One dude, the kind of, yeah, that's a good call. This is kind of line change. And then the non-line change guys are like Vidal Brujan catchers. It's not great, but Connor Norby is playing every day against lefties and righties. And not only that, but leading off, we talked about that a little bit, I think on the Tuesday show. And I was like, he'll be really interesting if he runs with Miami, and Norby did steal a base, I think, earlier on Thursday. So at least has shown the ability to run with the Marlins and hitting leadoff every day. And Norby is
38%.
Yeah. Only 38% in 12 teamers. So is widely available.
Yeah. I like that. I didn't shout him out. I figured he was way more rostered than that. That's some pretty fun stuff there. Now I got to decide, do you want Connor Norby or do you want JC Young? Think you want Norby, but that's probably
you want Norby. What about Massey? There's a different
I think I still want Norby, weirdly enough.
Go Norby, Massey, Young.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm starting to like Young more the more I've dug into him this week, but could be overshooting that one too. And the one thing I do like about at least from a fantasy perspective, over Massey at least. You look at Norby's second base only right now. He should gain third base here probably next week. Chase Young's already second base, third base. So something else to differentiate if you need to, you know, pick at straws on that one. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 6 games coming up next week, all at home. They got 3 versus St. Louis, 3 versus Colorado, 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Brew Crew. I don't know if there's anything I'm too excited about, but what do you see?
I don't see much. I mean, there's been like no movement in this lineup, and it's kind of the same. As much of a line change as Miami was, the Brewers are really not. Like, it's the only real platoon they have is second base, Bryce Terang and Andrew Monasterio. Everyone else is kind of locked in. Love that William Contreras is playing every day. Stole home today. Kind of in a rundown.
Six stolen base of the year. Yes.
Just awesome. I got nothing in terms of like pickups for the Brewers this week. It's not that interesting.
Nope, they're not. But hey, let's go team line change, the original, the goats of the line change. Minnesota Twins, 7 games coming up this week. They go to Tampa Bay for 4 and then to the Royals for 3. 2 lefties, 5 righties. The one thing I will say is Rasmussen's only going to probably go 2, so that's a bullpen game. We'll see how the rest of it goes, but just for sure, Rasmussen's 2. Springs gets to throw 80 pitches, so there's a lot of bullpen involved in these two. But 2 lefties, 5 righties, y'all know what to do on this one now. So I'll give the floor to you, Ryan, but it's a lefty-heavy week.
Yeah, take your earbuds out while I say that Matt Wallner is only 75% rostered in 12-teamers and is a must-add.
And he's not even platooning anymore.
Exactly. He's not even platooning anymore. And again, as I pull up my little last 30-day live bloom board here for Parker Meadows.
Say it loud for the people in the back. Trust me,
trust me. This is painful for me to realize and go through, especially as you're laughing while I speak. So on the same list where Parker Meadows is the number 1 improver in strikeout rate over the last month, Matt Wallner is number 4. Taking that K rate down from 43, which is like, again, truly awful. And why I call him Joey Gallo, has improved that to 31%, which is still bad, but for Matt Wallner's power, you can absolutely live with that. And the power has been there while Matt Wallner has turned down the K's. So Good call, my friend, on Matt Wallner. And yes, he should be rostered everywhere this week. I don't really care how deep your league is. Was that good enough? Are you happy? Good.
I'll take that. I'll take that for sure. One thing I am curious about, though, and Michael C. mentions it in the chat here, Buxton could be back at the end of next week. Now, Wallner's not playing center field, of course, but I guess Austin Martin just disappears. Now, Wallner keeps playing, so we're good there. I just wanted to see how that shook out. But, yes, that was good. So, and I'll give you, your boy, he's been playing great too, Trevor Larnach. He should get plenty of playing time this week. So, he's 11% rostered. I think that's a very solid one as well. It's a guy we've talked about every time they play a bunch of righties, and he had a couple home runs recently. So he's playing better than Max Kepler. So I definitely look in that direction for sure.
You see the question from Tom in the chat is I just pulled it up. Is Willie Castro a drop? That's a really good question. Because I say you want to, if you need bags, Willie Castro is your guy, but Willie Castro this season, just 12 steals. He's 12 for 20. On the base pass, like pretty bad. Strikeout rate is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say in August, he's only hitting .242, four homers, two steals, 19 runs though, and 17 RBIs. So he's producing those pretty darn well, all things considered. He gets leadoff, but I get the concern. He almost has hit Gene Segura realm of situations here, right? I wasn't even thinking about it. Since August 17th, though, it's about 10 days ago, give or take. It's hitting .244, the homer. No steals, though. He ain't running, like you said. So that's interesting. Didn't know that.
So I think if you're in a 12 or shallower, I think Willie Castro is absolutely droppable.
He's
nice to have his
stream.
Nice to have his position eligibility and everything, especially in deeper leagues, but he's not doing much right now. Not to say he won't go off in September, but we don't know. But yeah, has been very, very poor lately.
Yeah, that's a stream situation only. So he could easily be cut if you have better options, which I think we mentioned a few better options this week. So I think that's definitely something we can look at there. Let's talk New York Mets here. They have six games coming up this week, three all at home, three versus Boston, three versus Cincinnati, all right-handed pitching, it looks like, for now. And that Cincinnati series could be, the chef's kiss if all things work out well. Problem is it's like not a ton that intrigues me on the waiver wire when it comes to the bats on this one.
No, I mean, it Jesse Winker, if he's available, I think it's a good pickup. The thing that I was kind of looking at when I looked at the Mets roster earlier today is with Marte back, predicted this one. It's been Harrison Bader who has really lost pretty much not all playing time, but he's only playing like half the time, almost in a short side platoon, only starting against lefties. So Harrison Bader, for me, I've got him on a couple 15s, kind of that Gene Segura guy. Got off to a good start this season, but hasn't done much lately, and then the playing time has started to wane. So in your deeper formats, I think Bader's a drop, and Starling Marte is pretty much playing every day. I remember being a little worried that it'd be a Marte Winker platoon, and both those guys are Winker's still a platoon, but Marte is playing pretty much every day.
Yeah, Bader was a draw for me recently, even in 15s. It's just not gonna fly these days. The one guy I'll say keep an eye on, Tyler McGill. This is a guy we've always had high hopes for. He should be starting Friday for the Mets tomorrow, the day you're listening to this, potentially should be starting. And he's going to likely stick in Paul Blackburn's spot in the rotation. That sets up first Boston next week. That's not ideal. I get it. That's a tough matchup. But it's something to look for. Like, Blackburn's expected back the following week. If he's not, though, you might get some Tyler McGill starts is all I'm trying to say. So that could be something worth keeping an eye on in deeper formats.
Yep. Agreed.
All righty. The New York Yankees, six games coming up next week, all on the road. Three at Texas, three at the Chicago Yankees and Wrigley over the weekend in a beautiful early September. That's going to be some fun. The bleachers will be popping that week. That's all I'm going to say. But when it comes to the Yanks here, we have two lefties, four righties, and not much to get excited about. It just means that Austin Wells plays at least four games next week. So that's good because they had to play versus lefties. I couldn't sit them all week because the Yankees are playing nothing but lefties right now. But usually there is a committee there. I'll say that much.
Yeah, that is weird. Five of the last six games for the Yankees have been against lefties. I don't have much here other than the bewilderment that Gleyber Torres is leading off for this team.
He's homered in back-to-back games.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that, I mean, this dude was in the absolute doghouse. Like, I thought maybe getting cut and is now leading off. And maybe that's the, I don't know, complete narrative city here. But maybe that's the spark he needs to salvage this season. I thought that was wild. I don't know how long that's been going on. I must have missed that. But
at least a week, it looks like. It dawned on me like early this week, so it couldn't have been too long, hopefully.
Back-to-back homers in back-to-back games for Gleyber?
Yep.
Jeez.
The dong patrol's out there with Gleyber, so you got to watch out. But he's still 96% rostered. People have not given up on Gleyber Torres. That's impressive. I figured in 12s he'd be cut a lot more than that. So
yeah, I mean, talk about doing nothing for you. I mean, so guess how many home runs does Gleyber Torres have over the last month?
Over the last month, probably the two he hit the last two games.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, let's chill out a little bit, I guess. Yeah, that's crazy. That name value is holding that 96% roster rate for Gleyber. That's what a bad year out of nowhere.
Yep, I'm with you on that one completely. The GOAT in Oakland, Lawrence Butler. No, sorry, the Oakland Athletics play this week, seven games. They have four at home versus Seattle, three at home versus Detroit, and they get Scooble, unfortunately. One lefty, six righties for Oakland, which means that for some godforsaken reason, Lawrence Butler is still around. Please fix that, but that would be 98% rostered. Thank God. J.J. Bleday is swinging it well. He's 88% rostered. People are catching on Oakland. I appreciate that. Seth Brown might be the only guy you can look at this week, right?
It's been my guy, Seth Brown, and won't start against Scooble, which is a good
even
thing.
Better.
Start against the rest of the
rostered 4%.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Brown hasn't been like great lately, but pretty much hitting cleanup or fifth pretty much every day against righties, and it's going to play six times. So,
the first four are tough.
What do we got? It's Seattle. It's the Seattle four and then Scooble. So, it is tough. It's a good point.
Yeah, I think he's worth the stream. Or if you're playing in NFBC, play him over the weekend for the two starts over the weekend versus Detroit. Like, that's viable. Those four games against Seattle always scare me, but you never know. You never know. It's something to just notice. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad or the ugly. But Ryan, did you want to talk about any pitchers coming up here for Oakland? There's some fun two steps. I know we talked two steps later, but I didn't know if you wanted to bring up anybody in Oakland that should be getting the start next week. I'm kind of mad JP Sears got pushed out for Jen. We're not going to worry about Jen, but I think there's another guy that's going to two-step. Didn't know if you're interested in a Seattle-Detroit two-step by one of the best pitchers in baseball right now.
We'll get there. Real quick on Oakland. Jacob Wilson's back in the IL. Remember Jacob Wilson who like hurt his hamstring his first game back? Yeah. If you need batting average, or if you're bunching batting average, Jacob Wilson may not do much outside of that, but probably is going to play shortstop every day. So there's that. So yeah, what were you talking about? Who were you talking about?
A starting
pitcher. Who are you alluding to?
One of the best pitchers in baseball. I think his name is Osvaldo. Beto, I'm pretty sure. Kind of like Libido when he pitches. Osvaldo Beto. Any interest in that guy for you?
After bashing him and you last week, I will take my lips or my licks on this one. Osvaldo Beto, really, honestly, dude, had the start of his life this week, dude.
In Great American, too, of all places.
Great American ballpark. So Osvaldo Beto's walks his last six starts, 4-3, 1-2, 3, and then 0. Of course, the 0 happens after I did that to him, but no. That start scared me because Osvaldo Beto walks guys and gives up fly balls, but pitched very well and gets probably a two-step this coming week. We'll see what Oakland does with their rotation. They may go to a six-man, called up this like JT Jin guy.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Sears getting the two-step with Beto, and it moved Sears back, which ticked me off.
Michael says, so we told Beto, you so.
Beto will get one no matter what because it's a seven-game week.
Yeah,
if even with a six-man rotation.
Michael says, we told you so, Ryan, but Beto probably won't hold a 0.3 homers per nine long. No, I absolutely will not.
Yeah, I will.
but I'd actually, so a couple things with Osvaldo Beto, and this was mentioned a little bit last week, is really lately a ton more missed bats with Beto. And I think that was kind of the big thing, was just in what you were talking about, just like the stuff looks a lot better, a lot more, fewer sliders, more fastballs, more changeups for Beto lately. So there's been a change in pitch mix there as well. I'm still not convinced the control is what it is, but hey man, if he can limit the walks to 0-1, even 2 per game, good on you. 'Cause the stuff does look pretty good. And the week ahead for him is good. So yeah, there,
the week after he gets at the White Sox. So
of course he does. God damn it.
Just enjoy it while you can, folks, is all I'm going to say. It's pretty nice. All right, Philadelphia Phillies, they have 6 games coming up next week, all on the road, 3 at Toronto, 3 at Miami, all right-handed pitching for now. Still doesn't do much for me when it comes to fantasy, though.
No, the only thing I've got here, I mentioned this at the top, but Austin Hayes is back from the IL. I thought Austin Hayes was one of the kind of trade deadline winners going from Baltimore to Philadelphia because of playing time. Then he got hurt, but he's back hitting 9th, but should play every day. If you're desperate for outfielders in deeper leagues, Austin Hayes is back and available for you.
Yep. One thing I will mention is your boy might be getting recalled because Taiwan Walker sucks. Tyler Phillips, like RotoWire, even has him projected a 2-step next week at Toronto, at Miami. He wasn't as dominated before he went down, but we saw flashes of goods from him. I know you were on him before. Would that be of someone of interest for you?
I'm still recovering from the whatever his last major league outing was. I don't know. I'd have to. What would the matchup be? I mean, it'd be matchup dependent.
At Toronto, at Miami,
in the same week.
Yeah, projected, and it's all subject to change. Right now, He's projected to take Taiwan's spot, which would be Monday, the 2-step.
Let's roll with it. In 15s, not in 12s.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. I knew I'd get you there. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 7 games next week. They have 3 at Chicago, 4 at home versus Washington, and they get the wonderful, since they play Washington, they get 5 lefties and 2 righties coming up this week. So this is one of those rare weeks, Ryan, where we go, Connor Joe, anybody? Does Connor Joe interest anybody here? Maybe Michael A. What are you thinking here with Pittsburgh? Because even though I said that, I still don't feel great about it.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where'd you go, my Connor I. Joe?
Where did I see you go?
5 lefties. It is, dude, it is Connor Joe week. It is, yeah. Connor Joe week. I actually would rank him quite high in like corner outfield Fab bids this week, only for 1 week, but Connor Joe against 5 lefties is pretty sweet. What's the K minus walk again? The 14%. So somewhat tough schedule. It's Steele, it's Wicks, Irvin, Hers, ended with Corbin. So
Corbin just dominated the Yankees.
Yeah.
Corbin's actually looked good for 3 or 4 straight starts. I actually talked about him on first pitch the other night. He's been like sneaky serviceable. I do not trust him as far as I can throw him. But he's actually been, if you streamed him like the last in August, you've been okay, really. It's funny. Yeah. Corbin hasn't killed you. All right, San Diego Padres, they got 6 games coming up next week, all at home. 3 against the Tigers, 3 against the Giants. A little weekend series in San Diego. 2 lefties, 4 righties for San Diego to face here. And Tatis won't be back next week, but he should be on the mend is what I'm going to say there. Any interest in somebody in San Diego? Because they don't change much at all.
I say every week I have nothing to say about San Diego. So
yep. They don't get hurt. Seems like they just do their thing.
They're just there. They're good. They're just there. So I honestly I don't. There's nothing. There's nothing here. We talked about David Peralta last week because I think this current week is a righty heavy one. But
yes,
I don't know. I don't think he's done anything. So.
Nothing substantiary, that's for sure. All right, San Francisco Giants, 6 games coming up here. 3 at home versus Arizona, 3 at the San Diego Padres. Looks like all righties this week, so you got your Confortos. But I know we've had a lot of conversation in the chat from Mr. Ted there. Grant McRae has been outstanding playing center field every day for the Giants. Like, he's doing his best Tyler Fitzgerald impression right now. He's hitting for power. He's stealing bags. So McCray, as long as he's hitting, I'd roll the dice and see where it goes, because they're platooning Conforto and others. They are not platooning Grant McCray right now. So Grant McCray would be not my top outfield guy. Like, there's Matt Wallner and other guys out there. But Grant McCray, if he's a power speed source, like, he's going to get you both. So I'm a fan of what we're seeing there.
All right.
I can see I sold you on that one. All right.
Yeah, I've never heard of the guy until last week. So
he's the one I was telling you when he got called up. His dad was in the stands. He's, and there's the video of the guy running through the wall. Yeah, he's a former ball player.
That's right. All right. So I still don't know what to think.
I still don't know what you're talking about. Yes. No. Yes.
one God. Just interesting is
it is a little, I'm a little off folks. Tonight. So well, it's almost September, folks. Here we go.
Tyro Estrada was waived by the Giants today, but as long as he goes unclaimed, he can still play for the Giants, but probably not your fantasy teams. I think he stole his second base.
He did
earlier this week or over the weekend or something.
On the so, it was know. On the day it was like the day he returned or something when no one could really activate him, so it was fun.
Yeah.
So, slap in the face. I don't know what the Giants are going to do with Robbie Ray's spot in the rotation. That's going to be the fun one, but let's keep an eye on that one.
Any update on Robbie Ray, by the way? Because I remember we were waiting for a grade on the hamstring strain.
Nothing, and the fact that there's nothing almost makes me feel like this is a minor thing. Because they would have said it by now, because they gave the information for Jordan Hicks' shoulder, but nothing on Robbie Ray. So maybe it's a bad thing that they're saying nothing. Who knows? Like, I tore on it in many directions. What do they gain by throwing him this year the rest of the way? Nothing.
Right. And that's why I asked. I think folks are hanging on to Robbie Ray. I'm not too.
I think you can drop him. I think you can
drop him, but wait to see if we can get some info before Sunday. But
I was expecting Mason Black to get the call. RotoWire does as well. That's who they have penciled in. Don't go add Mason Black. That was fun while it lasted. But they have Robbie Ray coming back the following week for a two-step. So wait and see what you can find out this week. Because if he does get the two-step, it's Milwaukee and San Diego, and that's not the greatest thing either. So,
dude, your boy McCray likes to go up there and hack.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't sit around. Like, I love watching him play. Because some of the Giants are too they sit there, they're too passive. No, McCray goes up there and grips it and rips it. It's fun. Like, I'm all for it. It might haunt him and put him in a massive slump at some point. But I will say he grips it and rips it, but he's also not like swinging crazy all over the place, at least when I've watched him play. So okay. I'll give him that much. Like, he's aggressive, but he's not stupid. He's not Javi Baez stupid.
Hey man, I'm willing to wager there have not been many catchers in baseball this season with 3 homers and 2 steals and a 50 plate appearance stretch. And that's probably McCray's best, but that's still pretty impressive.
McCray's a center fielder.
Oh, what the hell?
We're moving on. Yeah, we're moving on to the Seattle Mariners on this one. They have 7 games coming up this week, 3 at the Oakland Athletics. That always bodes well for opposing teams. Then 3 at the St. Louis Cardinals. 6 righties on tap for the Seattle Mariners this week. Could be a Luke Raley week if you're looking for some fun there. What are you thinking here, Ryan?
No, probably not. This has just been such a frustrating year for the Mariners. I mean, if you're desperate, you go Luke Raley, but I'd rather go like Connor Joe.
Yeah.
Corner infield. Seth Brown. I'd rather go there than Luke Raley. So no, I don't have anything on the Mariners.
JP Crawford came back this week.
Crawford's back, which means Dylan Moore is not going to play anymore, most likely, or at least just be like a utility guy. But really, Dylan Moore hasn't done much of anything over the last month anyway, so you probably shouldn't be starting him anyway. But yeah, JP Crawford's back, leading off. Your OBP points league guy, but in roto leagues, not so much.
100% with you on that one. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games coming up this week. 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus Seattle, all right-handed pitching theirs. But still, this isn't a team that platoons a ton. Ivan Herrera is, since he's been called up, has played 3 out of 5 games with Pedro Páez. He's played 2 out of those 5, obviously. So right now, Ivan Herrera's got the upper hand on that, but I guess it's something to monitor going forward.
Hey, and they are catchers.
Yes, those are
catchers. That is a catcher.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. This is kind of like a Padres-type lineup. It's not moving much. They don't have many platoon guys. And it's, except it's a bad team. You do have Lucan Baker.
Yeah, he's playing a lot.
Hitting cleanup or third DHing. I don't know if he actually qualifies it.
I think it's util only. I'll double check. I'm pretty sure it's
UT only.
Yeah, it's first base. First base. 0% rostered at first base.
Yeah. A ton of power, but ton of swing and miss. So very deep league only. But he is hitting in the middle of the lineup for what it's worth so far this week, Lucan Baker. There is Victor Scott playing every day at center field, doing absolutely nothing with it. So avoid that one as well.
I'd rather Tommy Edman than Victor Scott. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games coming up this week. 4 at home versus Minnesota, 3 at the Baltimore Orioles, 1 righty, 6 lefties. That bodes well if you platoon things, but I'm not really liking the platoon options here, Ryan.
No, and Tampa Bay, shockingly, well, maybe not shockingly, has been the worst offense in baseball over the last 30 days. Yes, even worse than the Chicago White Sox. So very much a stream week for anyone going against Tampa, any of those pitchers listed in the projected opposing SP column. And yeah, given that it's a 2-5, all these platoon guys are not good. You can quickly see why they've been the worst lineup in baseball over the last month, despite having Junior Caminero.
Yeah, Caminero's he gets overshadowed by the poop that comes out of that place. A lot of swing and miss in Tampa right now. Brandon Lau, who was hitting good last week, I think had 3 hits, struck out 42% of the time. Like, it's gotten bad around those parts. Do we let Randy go and it goes to hell.
Is Manuel Rodriguez their closer?
Dude, I don't know what to trust there.
I still think it's a committee. Like, I definitely don't think it's Useta, because he has pitched like the 6th and 7th lately.
One thing I'll say to the Useta question there is Manuel Rodriguez's last save, Useta got the win because that was a 10-inning game. So Useta got the primary inning on that one.
Okay.
It's a 3-headed monster I want nothing to do with.
Garrett Clevenger got the save on last Saturday. So who knows?
It's as bad as the Dodgers situation, except the Dodgers are actually good.
Yeah, so that's fair.
Texas Rangers, they have 7 games this week, all at home. They get the Yankees for 3 and then 4 against the Angels, 2 lefties, 5 righties on this one. They're not really doing much for me these days either, but what interests you here?
No, and even like my guy, Josh H. Smith has been pretty poor lately, slid back into a platoon. Jonah Heim is back to being the primary catcher after that random punishment.
Yeah, that's weird.
Caused a few drops, but no, I got nothing on Texas.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have 5 games this week, unfortunately. They have 2 against Philadelphia, 3 at Atlanta, 3 lefties, 2 righties. That kind of just takes everything out of consideration for me. But I will say this much. If for some reason Pauden Francis continues to deal, my friend, is up to 93% at least. So that's a start. But, man, it looked good again tonight.
Yeah, I think gave up 1 hit this evening. I just – personally, it sucks because I picked up a lot of bad – I picked up the bad Pauden Francis earlier this year and dropped him. And I just – was not interested on the return trip, and man, he is no one's a league winner in fantasy baseball, but that has been a massive boost in any league where you picked up Bowden Francis. So
imagine losing Glasnow and picking up Bowden Francis.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff right there, folks. Yep. Get some. Yep.
Exactly. So no Blue Jays this week, mostly because of the 5-game week, but also because there's just not much there. Joey Loperfido hasn't been too bad lately, but still not this week.
Yep, Lo Profita was down by Waterfall last week, so I'd still have him under Waterfall for like a buck, but have him way down there just in case things don't work out. You can pick him up for the following week and just have him for cheap. But yeah, Washington Nationals to wrap things up here. Six games coming up this week, all on the road. Three at Miami, three at Pittsburgh. Five righties in the six games for the Nats. This Nats offense is fun, folks. But when you're looking for left-handed bats, there's not a whole lot that. Like, I'm looking at the roster. Chaparro's still there. Jose Tena has been very, very good. So those would be kind of like Dylan Cruz. Well, Dylan Cruz wasn't Dylan available Cruz in a lot of leagues. So
no, he'll be a popular. Leagues, Dylan Cruz is available in was not available in pretty much any NFBC league this past Sunday unless he was drafted.
Like one OC last week or something like that. Yeah,
I broke the Fab Bank for Dylan Cruz and Tout last Sunday just because, again, at this point we've got – four more fab periods left. I figured why not? And who knows how it works out, but it has been a pretty successful first week. I agree, man. Like the Nats lineup is like, dude, you get CJ Abrams, James Wood. If Cruz pans out, Luis Garcia's had a great year. You mentioned Tana Chaparro. Like, this is actually like a pretty, like out of nowhere, pretty sick lineup that has come together.
They've sold the farm and they've built something here. Like
they have,
because a lot of these pieces were from the Soto deal. So that's kind of when you build, when you trade someone like that, you better get some return. And they've done very well in that one, I'll say. But yeah, even the other kind of trades, because like, Mackenzie Gore was in that deal, Jake Irvin, DJ Hers, Mitchell Parker. Like, they have a bunch of young players that I think way more have panned out so far than I think people expected. So. And then they'll have a bunch of money, not saying they don't know how to spend it because they're the Nationals, but there's potential. They could make some noise there if they can get a couple guys. They need to do it the Royals way. I remember going, and this is a tangent for 2 seconds, then we'll move on. But I remember in the preseason saying, I love what the Royals did because they didn't break the bank, but they grabbed like six guys, all affordable guys, to help fill out their roster. If the Nats took that approach with these young players, the Nats could be sneaky next year, but that's a conversation for another day. But they're close. They're close to be really. Yeah, and Uncle Ted said Cade Cavalli. He'll be back next year to join the party.
Like, that's what I was thinking of. There was another pitcher, who was not pitched at all but had pedigree. It was Cade Cavalli.
The Nats is one of those, for people that like to gamble, if you see over-under win totals next year, that could be a fun one. Just going to throw that out there right out the gate. But, tangent on a Thursday night.
Hey, that's why the folks listen to our Fab podcast on August 29th for that 2025 over-under. But no, I agree with you, man.
The baseball fan in me coming out right there. That's what that was.
No, they're fun. Yeah, you look down this lineup. It's exciting. What's your take on Dylan Cruz? Like, if folks out there are trying to figure out how much, like, would you break the bank at this point for Dylan Cruz?
The one thing I was going to say is in Tout, you can have $0 fab bid. So keep that in mind if you're in an NPC.
Which is like why I did it in Tout.
So you need to have some money. I'd be willing to go 85% of whatever you have left. Like, I tried it because there'll be, what do we say, three periods after this? Yeah. If I had like $10 left for my final 3 weeks, I'd spend everything else on Dylan Cruz, I think, personally.
I think also, too, because so this past Cruz was called up the first day after rookies could be called up and still retain rookie eligibility.
Oh, yeah, he's playing
for next year. So, yes, he's playing. But then also, like, you would have thought there would be a bunch more, you know, if teams wanted to call up some of their top prospects, give them that September cup of coffee. And maybe we'll see when rosters expand Sunday, September 1st to kind of get that final thing. But it doesn't seem like there's other prospects coming up getting the call that are worth it. So it's if that remains the case, I agree putting all your chips in Cruz at this point in the season. I mean, can't take your fab with you for next year. So
a full month of what this kid could potentially do, and it's potentially maybe hits the skids. He's a young player. That happens.
Right, we don't know, but
out of like the guys we've listed on this page, like, he has the bigger ceiling than pretty much everybody we talked about. Like, it's that kind of potential. So you take your chances. You see what happens. Didn't mention it. It's different. Reed Detmers should be up any day if you're looking for pitching. Not saying it's a great thing, but his last few starts at AAA have been really, really good. Who knows if that correlates? Just throwing another one out there, because on the 25th is when the Angels gained extra year of service time from him. So knowing the Angels, they're going to wait till the rosters expand on Sunday to bring Reed Detmers up. So someone else to keep in mind. All right. You want to talk some CBS, most added and dropped players for the week? Because we'll talk hitters first before I really have some fun with you here. But big Christmas. Actually, this is you get to run this part of the show. So what do you got for us this week on the most added on CBS? Because it's pretty much the who's who of who we talked about this week.
Yeah, but it's also just kind of a good summary, I think, for all the guys we have talked about. So, yes, John Kenzie Noel, though, we both kind of cautioned it's going to be some ups and downs, but on the aggregate, the power's there. He's the highest from 23 to 48% owned in CBS. We mentioned Connor Norby hitting leadoff. Connor Norby's the number two riser up to 37% from 16% in CBS with those green skills that we have on the spreadsheet here, a 15% barrel rate, that's green for power, and a 20% stolen base attempt rate, which means he's trying to steal second one out of every five times he gets on first base. So that combination of power speed from a leadoff guy, I think Connor Norby is probably, for me, the top infield fab bid this week. If he's not.
Yep, makes my tout stupidity sting even more on that one. That's that was a big oopsie over here. But Perdomo's not far off from what Norby's been producing up there. It's not Norby-esque, but he's a nice fallback plan if needed.
And probably a higher floor, right? Yeah, like Norby, sure. We're probably gonna see some of the ups and downs, maybe higher ups, but Perdomo's pretty stable, strikes out a lot less than Norby, but probably doesn't have the power speed skills, but still. Certainly a fine ad. Mentioned some catchers. Non McCray division. Adrian Del Castillo. Miguel Amaya, Alejandro Kirk, Kieber Ruiz. I don't know. Kieber Ruiz is still 37% owned in CBS. Probably a lot of one catcher leagues on CBS. He's been really good since recovering from that illness and weight loss from earlier in the season. But yeah, we've both professed our love for Adrian Del Castillo on previous shows. And I mentioned today that Miguel Amaya has been one of the best catchers in baseball over the last month. So some decent catcher options for you this week as well.
And I know I kind of put some cold water on Adrian for the upcoming week. I'll also say Gabriel Moreno started taking batting practice. So things can get real murky there. So if you just kind of want to, you know, not be as risky, grabbing an Amaya or someone this week and moving on from Del Castillo isn't the – it'll seem crazy right now, but might not be the worst decision in a couple of weeks.
Who else we got? We got a couple infielders. I've talked about Whit Merrifield.
Merrifield, yes.
Yeah, that might be my guy. I don't know why, Laureano's, but if he needs steals. Is he?
Laureano's right there. Meadows, Loperfito, Laureano. That's pretty crazy to see him that high up there, but yes.
I mean, Laureano's hitting well.
That's what you're saying.
So, and not to say that's going to continue, but that's why Laureano is rising. It's a modest rise from 4 to 9%, but it is there. Parker Meadows, I think, is a really big one here. Only 29% rostered in CBS, up from 24%. I think that should go even higher as Detroit plays a bunch of games against a bunch of righties. So Meadows at leadoff should get a bunch of at-bats.
Someone I wanted to mention, I actually wrote him up this past week because all the lefties the Royals are facing. But Paul DeJong's on this list, and I know I'm going to get laughed at here by you in a minute. But he has been outstanding for the Royals, especially of late. But joined the Royals on July 31st, hitting 300 with five homers in that stretch. He's like the last couple, like 10 days or so, he's like four of those home runs. And he's actually played the last three games versus righties. And if Vinny P goes down, some of those games versus righties is DH. So Paul DeJong could be a dude to. At least in deep performance, I know Ryan's never, like I've mentioned him before and I get laughed at. I've had him in tout, but, you know, the Cleveland matchups, Bibee, but then Cobb and Lively are doable. Minnesota, you got SWR, and you don't know what you're doing with Festa or Ober, technically. So DeJong in a deeper format, I could see being viable as well.
That's wild. Didn't realize he was that good over the last month. Actually, I mean, on the year, dude.
He just wasn't an OBP guy, so tout sucked. But since he's joined the Royals, his OBP is 368. Like, the dude's been phenomenal. He's been quite serviceable, and he's not platooning right now. And if Vinny P does go to the IL, I see that benefiting Paul DeJong quite a bit.
Look at Matt Wallner right ahead of him, just a 2% rise up from 25 to 27%. That's
people are sleeping. sleeping at the wheel.
Bubba's literally shedding tears here live on the show as I sulk.
Look at that name on the bottom, that catcher.
Yeah, there's Graham McCray. Yeah, that's one of my worst gaffes, man. That's up there with the Verlander. What did I say? Verlander was still in the Mets.
Something like that. That's good.
Live podcasting people. Yeah, there's your guy, Grant McCray, just to rub that in a little bit more at the end there. Up from 2 to 4%. Look at that power speed.
Look at that power speed. That's
look at that power speed. That's the beauty. I mean, I think of these charts is you can just quickly see there's three colors. It's batting average, it's power, it's speed. You can see McCray. It's red, green, green.
He's the only 2020 power speed guy on this chart.
That is true. That is true. You do need to ignore the 40% K rate, but that is a...
Don't see that. I only see the green in this world.
I mean, probably the most important number in Grant McCray's row here is the 46, which is the number of plate appearances. So, I mean, it is a tiny sample, but again, for a catcher, not bad. I mean, center fielder.
Well done. All right, I think it's time to talk pitchers because there is a massive name at the top of this list.
Dude. This is like just me.
This is like if I say Beto three times, like Beetlejuice, you just can't get away from this guy right now. Yeah.
I already did my mea culpa.
You tweeted it. It was good.
And I tweet. Hey, I will. I can dish it and I can take it. It's got to work both ways.
Yes.
We always say that.
It does work both ways.
We probably admit our L's more than we. More yes. than we brandish our victory.
Oh, and trust me, folks, if Beto gets lit up at least once this week, don't think I'm not hearing about that the second it happens.
Yeah. Biggest CBS riser up from 20 to 45%. But like I said in my tweet earlier, if you listen to Bubba on the show last week, you have Beto's gem from this past week already in the bag, and then you're looking forward to a potentially really good week from a matchup standpoint.
And then the White Sox next week to top it off. Like, it is ridiculous what he's got coming up. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing since it's the A's, he probably gets the Angels sometime after that. Like, it's just a pretty sweet looking setup for him. So,
all right, can we go?
Jack Leiter got added to a lot of places, and he just got sent back to AAA. He had the one start and done. So keep that in mind, folks. Throw that out there.
We didn't bring up Lucas Erceg's here, but monitor that injury that he sustained with the comebacker tonight. We did not talk about the Chicago Cubs closer.
That's a situation.
I think I agree. So, I mean, what brings us up is we've got Jorge Lopez, who I think has gotten the last couple saves for the Cubs up from eight.
It only goes back 6 days here, and they haven't had a save in the last six games. Okay.
Well, damn. I know Jorge Lopez has at least gotten one. I think a couple saves somewhat recently with, mediocre skills up from 8 to 17%, while Porter Hodge, who I think has better skills, at least better stuff, but maybe a little bit more wild, is at 15%. Yeah. So these guys are both pretty much the same rostership on CBS. And it's kind of just a long way of me saying what you said in like one word is that this is kind of a gross
situation. I think it was Halterman asked me on Sunday. It's like, would you rather have the Cubs or the Tampa Bay situation? And that's where it gets real tricky. I want none, but I think Porter Hodge is the best pitcher, like you mentioned, the better stuff, but they seem to like Jorge Lopez for now. So I'd stay far, far away. The one I would honestly go to look at, and it's a messy situation too. Ah, man, he's widely rostered now, but if you're not in the NFBC, he might not be. And that's Michael Kopech. I'll admit he has been amazing since joining the Dodgers. I know it's not on this list we're talking about here, but if we are talking about messy closing situations, at least Kopech's on a good team, and even when he doesn't close, he puts up phenomenal numbers. So that's where I would go over the Cubs or the Rays.
Interesting, kind of maybe sneaky deep pitcher. I'm not sure who he faces next. We can look that up, but Brant Herder.
I'll look it up for you.
I think it's been brought up a couple times in the chat, though. That's what I was looking for. Uncle Ted throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, Britton mentioned him too.
Okay. So, yeah, Brant Herder is one of those guys. He's not going to, the stuff's not going to pop off the page. Does not miss a ton of bats, doesn't get a ton of Ks.
Ooh, two-step you know this week.
Is it a two-step? Who we got?
At San Diego, at Oakland.
Okay, so marginal, but a two-step. A two-step. Yep. 56% ground ball rate. Big ground ball guy, and he does not walk anybody. Great control. 3% walk rate on the season, which is only 22 innings for Brandon Herter. But that combination of not allowing base runners, and when you do, you get ground balls, like, I think a pretty safe floor. And we talked about the Detroit lineup earlier, looking a little bit better, might get some run support. So I like Brandon Herter as a sneaky add, especially with the throw the two-step on top of that. So some sneaky good skills from Brandon Herter. So thank you to Britton and whoever else in the chat brought that one up. But yeah, popped on the CBS added list from 2 to 9% here as well.
That is a very, very interesting one. There's Rhett Lauder. I'm just curious if he sticks, how that works. Love the Albert Suarez case you made earlier. So I think that's a very, very fun one as well. But then we got the messy Tampa Bay KC. Lorenzen was a two-step, and now he's on the IL, so don't worry about that.
He's hurt, yep.
But then it gets real murky. Like, these names that were mentioned, like, I'm not kidding, Patrick Corbin's been pretty dang good. I just don't trust most of these names. Jason Foley's back at the closer of Detroit, I'll say that much. He's got the last two saves. He's back in the back end of that situation. But I just skipped, like, six guys, so if you have anything on them, go for it.
No, I really don't.
I don't have any interest in most of the rest of these names personally.
Yeah. It's
nothing.
Actually, this is probably more of a keeper ad, or
yes,
maybe a late draft and hold for 2025. Yeah. Kumar Rocker pitching very well in Texas.
Just got promoted to AAA.
Yep. And very much deservedly so. Probably not an impact in September, but I think a name to stash away for 2025 draft and holds.
Yep, I'm with you there. Yeah. All right. I think that's about all I got for the pitchers, unless you got someone else that you're interested in. Otherwise, I got some two-steps for you to pick through.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it here. Starting with Arizona, as usual. You got E-Rod versus the Dodgers at Houston.
E-Rod.
He's been better of late, too. That's the thing.
He has, I know.
That's still terrifying. 15s, yes. 12s, only if you have
I don't even know in 15s. Like, yeah, maybe no, I don't think I do
me right now.
Dodgers they don't, scary. But like Will Smith needs to hit a homer in that game against E-Rod.
Oh my God. All right. Ryan Nelson at the Giants at Houston. You start Ryan Nelson.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And just for funsies real quick. Good. Nelson's up to 94%. At least people are still paying attention this late in the year. That's good to see.
Yeah, that is good to see. Cause Ryan Nelson has, like, I think somewhat quietly been outstanding, because we were worried that, like, we saw that the skills were getting better, but we didn't think he'd stay in the rotation. But
well, he got sent to the bullpen, and then he pitched like everyone they needed a sixth starter, and then they finally said, screw it, Montgomery, you're out of here. I was like, thank God that finally happened.
38 Ks, six walks in his last five starts with a sub-1 whip, 2.56 ERA. And I made fun of the nasty Nelly nickname, but
it's pretty nasty right now. It's pretty nasty.
Diamondback social media team, they must have known something.
Yep, for sure. Atlanta Braves, you're playing Chris Sale. Baltimore, Corbin Burns, White Sox, Tampa. You got to do it, but my God.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
That's been rough. Boston, Brian Bayo at the Mets versus the White Sox. You're doing that.
Yep.
Cleveland, Tanner Bibee. You're doing that. Colorado, Freeland at Atlanta, at Milwaukee.
Both on the road. No, those are two, I think, pretty good offenses. So no, I'm not doing that.
White Sox, Chris Flexen at Baltimore, at Boston.
Never Flexen. Two words to live by.
So there we got Detroit, Herter at San Diego, at Oakland.
I would, yeah. I mean, given what I just said about Herter, there's some risk Herter doesn't go.
Yeah, as Michael deep in the chat said.
But he's gone five innings in three of his last four starts. So he can do it. He just probably won't go six or seven. So
yeah, so the wins might be tough, but he could get your county stats and maybe get one. They might smoke Oakland or get smoked. You never know. Kansas City, Michael Wacha versus Cleveland versus Minnesota. 15s, yes, 12s.
Yeah. Right. You know the 12s better. I'd definitely roll with them in a 15.
15 for sure. 12 is, it depends if you do you need counting stats or are you protecting your ratios. That's where that goes. Dodgers, you're starting Jack Flaherty. Max Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max Meyer versus Washington versus Philadelphia.
I don't know if he can do that. We just lauded, you know, we just drooled over the Washington lineup and, yeah. and we know
they don't strike really out for a young team either. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's Max Meyer, who starts this week, eight Ks and six walks over the last month, 24 Ks, 13 walks, 7 ERA. No, I don't think you can do it with Max Meyer.
Nope. Minnesota, Simeon Woods Richardson at Tampa Bay at Kansas City.
This is one dude I cannot figure out. I just can't. He'll have some awesome starts, but then go like three innings.
He's facing the worst offense over the last 30 days. You have to, unfortunately.
I think you do just for the at Tampa.
Yep.
But he could get blown up against the Royals. I don't know.
Yep.
That's
maybe
tough,
maybe Vinny P's out of the way. We'll see. David Festa, same situation, Tampa. I like Festa more than SWR. But,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would start Festa in almost every league this week. I think Festa's really good.
Yep, I'm with you. Luis Severino versus Boston versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'd do it. Somewhat hesitant, but I'd do it.
Gerrit Cole at Texas at Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
Osvaldo Beto, of course. JT Jen, this is an interesting one because he's taking JP Sears two-step, which made me quite angry here, but Jen gets versus Seattle versus Detroit.
I mean, if you do, you may want to grab some tonic to go with it.
Yes, so. Well done. I was waiting for that. Thank you.
I mean, the Seattle-Detroit part is awesome. JT Jen just has been mediocre in the minors, so I'd still probably not do it, but if I can see where if you're desperate for wins and starts and need something, I can see you going there.
I'm just bummed that Jen's the one that got called up because, man, they've had some other guys dealing in AAA right now. Your boy Phillips for Philadelphia at Toronto at Miami. You said no, right?
Yeah, I said no, and I'm trying to detach myself from my boy here, but no, I don't. I need to see something from Tyler Phillips in the majors before I go back there.
Tough one here. Jared Jones at the Cubs at versus Washington.
Yeah, I'd throw it. Has he only had the one start since he?
Yeah, and that was brutal. Back? It's been bad for Jared Jones before he got hurt, after he got hurt. It's been a rough go.
Yeah, I still think you throw it. I think you have to.
Joe Musgrove, you're throwing. Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, you're throwing. Kyle Harrison versus Arizona at San Diego.
You would know better than me, but those two offenses, especially Arizona, scares the hell out of me, so I wouldn't do it.
I would not do it if you don't have to. That's all I'm going to say. If you need yeah. counting stats, fine, but I would not do it if you don't have to. Yep. Tampa Bay, you got Jeffrey Springs and Zach Lytle versus Minnesota at Baltimore.
Springs for sure. Lytle has been pitching terribly.
Yep. He'll be returning from the IL if that's the case.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe was pitching hurt, whatever, but no, you need to, similar to Phillips, we need to see Leto pitch well before we start him again.
Yep. And just for those that do pitch Springs, just know it's like an 80 pitch limit these days. So get used to it. Texas, you have Andrew Heaney and they still have Jack Leiter here, even though he got sent down on Saturday. So or Friday, Thursday, Heaney versus New York at the Angels.
Heaney, yes. Leiter, if it Leiter's even happens, even, I don't
know. Yeah, he's not with them right now. Leiter, I would do a no if he's with them. Heaney, yes. No one in Toronto. Washington, Patrick Corbin at Miami at holy shit.
Yeah, you've been talking him up. So I'm going to flip this back to you.
Oh, yes. I'm actually going to – I keep saying he's pitching well, so I'm going to pull the stats up to at least – show people what's been going down with Patrick.
You Corbin. Said holy shit before you actually said the second opponent.
So I saw the opponent.
It was at Miami and then at Pittsburgh as the two-step for
That's too sweet. Yeah, his last three starts, three earned runs over 16 in the third innings with 16 Ks. And that's Yankees, Rockies, at Philly. So it's not like all that's, walks in the park. Yeah, it's like he's been serviceable. Something. That's what I'm saying. He's not killing you if you streamed him. I would take the two-step here and just be prepared to be hurt. That's what's going to come. That's going to happen. Yeah. But especially in 15s, I think that's a phenomenal two-step. He'll be picked up all over the place in 15s. Honestly, in 12s, I'd take my chances here because for two reasons. The matchups are great. Miami, plus he's facing Max Meyer. He's actually the favorite to probably get a win in that one. The Pittsburgh starts Jared Jones, so the win might be tricky there. But Corbin can legit get you, let's say, 11 innings, 11 Ks, ERA around 3, and maybe get you a win. If he keeps doing what he's doing, it's big if. Yeah. But that's a phenomenal stream in September.
Major scar tissue there. I don't know if I can get past it, but yeah, I don't know.
It's a great one, but we've said that a few times in our career, and we know how it always turns out. So, as Michael C says, 11 runs in 11 innings. That's very doable as well. Not going to deny that one iota in this situation, but it's like with some of these other options we've talked about, I'm going to take my chances here, and I'm going to get hurt. I'm expecting to get hurt. So we'll have fun with that. All right, Ryan, we got a couple listener questions here before we head out of here. I think one, actually. That was the DM, I believe. No, we got a couple. So first off here, this was from our buddy Steve Crawford, who's in the chat, is Beanable in the chat. He said, question for tonight's show, would you drop Jared Jones to pick up Arrigetti for the rest of the season redraft league? I say yes.
I would do that too. Yeah, Arrigetti has been awesome. Yes, I would do that.
Do that in a heartbeat. But then here's the other part to his question. I guess what really bubbles up to a bigger question at this point in the season, do you think it's okay to drop high-end names and stream hot hitters, i.e. drop J-Rod, who continues to struggle, and pick up Lawrence Butler? Hard to dedicate roster spots at this time of year, hoping J-Rod catches fire for the last month when he hasn't for 5 months. That's where it gets fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far with it. Maybe I'm just too stubborn on J-Rod. When I say aggressive with drops, it's for hitters, guys that are losing playing time, and for pitchers, guys that are hurt. Or really hitters that are hurt, too. J-Rod's playing every day. Like, as bad as he's been this year, and he might be silently hurt, could absolutely go off in September. We know who J-Rod is. So I think if it's a good hitter who's playing every day and not injured, I think you still ride that out. But it's more the injury side of it where I think you need to be real aggressive with the drops. And if they lose playing time.
That's fair. Like Glasnow, drop J-Rod, very tough to drop, but it doesn't help that Lawrence Butler triple donged right after you.
Right, but like there's got to be a better drop than J-Rod is kind of what I'm
with you there. But a lot of these guys, I remember Steven said he plays like in a 10-team league, home league or something.
Yeah.
And yep. a lot of these guys don't have benches in their leagues. Mm-hmm. That's where the decisions get tough.
It's on, and a lot of folks, I know we're run late, whatever, but like a lot of the folks equate shallower leagues to easier leagues. I'm in a 10 team league. It is hard as hell to make add drop decisions and roster moves because of the talent available on free agent. It's honestly not that much easier, quote unquote, than a deeper format. So
no, I'm with you there. And that's like 12s. It took me a couple years just to start pulling the pin on things. Cause I remember my first year, even at 12, I did not want to drop anybody. And it got me. Like, you just can't play that game in even those formats. It's trickier, very tricky. Like, 15s is pretty cut and dry on that one.
From that aspect, it's easy, right? Yeah. But the replacement level is so bad. I mean, that kind of makes it tough, but your decisions are a lot more
cut and dry. I would be tending to the last few weeks. I don't believe J-Rod's going to figure it out, so I just start riding hot hands. But I also understand where you're coming from as well. It's tough, but I guess I brainwashed myself now to just start pulling the pin, like I said, and we're going to start blowing things up around here and see what happens. So Martin Sikulski, our buddy, asks, need stolen base options now that Hamilton is out. I know I can't run fast. Neither can I, buddy. I'll give you the floor first. I know we mentioned a few guys this week to add for some steals.
Yeah, I'm going over my list here. Connor Norby, Michael Massey. I feel like I've got one other one.
Perdomo. Unless
you wanted to add any. Perdomo.
Dylan Cruz,
if you want to bet the house.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Crow Armstrong, if available. Yep. So there are some options out there.
Yeah, I'm assuming he needs middle infield with Hamilton, but if not, there are some outfielders, like we said. So there are options. And if all else fails, just go stream Patrick Corbin and Osvaldo Beto and look for pain next week. Look for pain. If those two guys throw four great starts next week, my God, it's going to get wild in these parts.
Cancel next week's show.
It's going to get wild around here. Good thing is you haven't given me any negative connotations on it, so it's all good in that regards. But all right, my friend, I'm going to wrap it up there. Another fun one is we're getting closer to the stretch run. The chat was amazing, as always. Like that, like you guys are, it's getting later in the year, and you guys are getting more
active. Right, like the chat's getting livelier as we get into September.
The dog days. Final thoughts, Ryan, before we head out of here into a 3-day holiday weekend.
Yeah, fun weekend. I don't want to say the F word on this podcast, but college football is Labor Day is like one of my favorite weekends of the year because I'm a big college football fan, and it's the one weekend where we don't have the NFL kind of competing with us. So great schedule. I'm my Hokies play Saturday morning, and I'm going to the Oregon, taking my 5-year-old to his first Oregon Oregon Ducks game Saturday afternoon. They're playing the Idaho Vandals.
Ooh, sneaky Idaho. Watch out. Potatoes.
The spread is a mere 43.5. So
I was gonna guess 48 was where my head went immediately. So
in the 40s. Nice. It's in the 40s, but it'll be a fun time.
That's awesome. And I'm guessing the unofficial Uncle Burks will be there to show him around, so it'll be all good.
He'll be there. Pops will be there. He's a University of Idaho alum.
Oh, even better. Honestly, thinking of your father, I could see him being an Idaho person. I really could. So this makes sense.
Got him a Vandals shirt to wear for his birthday. So he's going into enemy territory with a Vandals shirt. I think he'll come out alive.
Idaho's a good like 1AA school. I don't know, FCS or whatever they call them now. Don't stand a chance against Oregon, but they're a fun school for opening weekend. That's good. You'll have fun. That's good. Good stuff. I'll be at the Giants game on Sunday, so that'll be fun. Getting the Buster Hugs Funko Pop. Looking forward to that. Put that on the desk around here somewhere and have some fun with the little one. She's loving baseball these days, so it's kind of fun in that regard. So we'll have fun and enjoy the weekend. Again, after Fab Monday, early lock, folks, the holiday schedule. So be prepared for that one. But we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back with you guys next week, a Tuesday episode of some sort to get you ready for the stretch run and Fab as usual and much, much more. But if you have any other questions other than that, you can hit us up on Twitter. Ryan is at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 165. Catch y'all next time.